Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hollywood Reimagined. This is episode 4. I am Tulia, and here with me I have Fred. Fred, can you hear me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Perfect. Okay. Episode 8. We made it to episode 8.
Okay,
yes.
You said 4 earlier.
No. Episode 8. No. We're here. So again, today we're going to be talking a lot about Pacific Breeze, which is one of the projects that we're currently filming. It's going to be a lot of in-depth information and just more details on what it is that we're shooting and especially the characters that we're working with for this particular project. But before we get into it, I want to say hello to our followers and our listeners, as always. And once again, just remind everybody that listens to us and cares about us and wants to support us that there is different ways that they can do so. One easy way is to go on the page on Spotify and click on the link that there is to donate. There's one under every single one of the episodes that we put out there. And the other one is through Blog Talk Radio itself. There's a link that you can click on and go support us. Again, if you cared about us, if you care about what we do, and just if you want to show your support and your love, we really appreciate it. Any way else that they can support, Fred? I feel like I always forget one.
Oh, yeah, there's always more.
Always more, obviously.
They can also follow us on blogtalkradio.com. That way they get, you know, reminders that, you know, we're going to be live, you know, Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's, you know, multiple ways of following us, but the best way is, you know, if they could donate money for the show, because this is not cheap. Doing live shows costs money, and it's not free. You know, most people do a podcast, record it, and they put it on, and it's done, it's free. But when you do it live, no, it costs money.
Right.
So, you know, anything can, you know, people want to do to donate, that can go towards it will definitely help the cause.
Absolutely. Yeah, everything helps for sure. All right. Well, that being said, again, as I mentioned before, today we're going to be talking about the characters of Pacific Breeze. And do you want to start maybe by saying just how you came up with the idea of like developing these specific characters for Pacific Breeze?
Yeah. Before that, though, I have a question for you.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have a live audience?
I have my microphone and my headphones right now, but they're in my parents are in the next room probably, like, still listening, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're going to be here for a long time, so I'm sure that they'll be able to, like, actually sit here with me and listen to some of the podcasts that we'll do in the next couple of weeks. They're still a little jet lagged, but they're trying to listen as much as they can. But,
cool.
Yeah, it was a long flight.
Okay, so let's get into the Pacific Breeze story. This actually started off many, many years ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say back in 2015.
Okay.
When I did the, I did the Leilani series.
Okay.
There were 6 episodes, which are available currently on Vimeo on demand.
Mm-hmm.
They just type in Simplex Studios on Vimeo, and they can find Leilani under the VOD category. And it was about the Hawaiian sovereignty. And so we did 6 episodes of that, and then we actually made a Hawaiian sovereignty series,
mm-hmm.
which almost got sold to a TV station in Hawaii.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we were very, very close to selling it. But the general manager was worried about pushback from the public because it is such a sensitive topic there.
Mm-hmm.
So they said literally at the last second, not to buy it.
Okay.
So we continued on with later on with Pacific Breeze. You know, these are all spin-offs of the original Leilani story.
Mm-hmm.
And we did season 1 focusing on the FBI characters and their lives and mm-hmm. how they dealt with the subject of Hawaiian sovereignty. Yeah, because, okay. you know, when you're dealing with, when you're in a job like that and dealing with personal viewpoints of each agent
mm-hmm.
that comes into play, you know, and how they react and react to each other and the situation, I thought was very interesting
mm-hmm.
As a way to tell a story. So fast forward to now, we're doing season two, and I thought that it's time to bring the Hawaiian sovereignty story back more center, front and center,
mm-hmm.
while still telling the story of the political fallout.
Right.
So this time, your character, Sir Chadwick, is a Secret Service agent, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to the FBI in the previous season,
right.
another playing FBI. I thought it'd be interesting to tell from a Secret Service standpoint,
mm-hmm.
because I've never done that before.
Yeah.
And we also have politics involved. We have a position of mayor campaign going on between two people.
Yeah.
Jake Jensen plays Ethan Miles,
mm-hmm.
Who's running for mayor. And then we have Christy playing Lila Carmichael.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the current mayor, right? And she's trying to keep her job. And Lila is also the mother to your character, Serena.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Because your character gets involved with Leilani, who's a part of the Hawaiian sovereignty, and she kind of taps into, you know, the fact that she really wants to help Leilani in
mm-hmm.
this cause. And she also has a mother who's running for mayor that could really damage her political campaign.
Right.
So there's a balancing act there. And so it causes a lot of strain within the relationship.
Right.
And on top of that, Serena's father has been missing for quite some time, like years.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And Lila, the mother, blames the Secret Service or CIA. She doesn't
mm-hmm.
know who to blame. She blames somebody for her missing husband. And the
right.
fact that your character's in the Secret Service, you know,
mm-hmm.
she kind of looks at you like your character, like, well, why are you doing this? Why are you in the Secret Service? You know, you know, you're kind of like, you know, in cahoots with the enemy.
Yeah.
So that's the dynamic there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other characters are very unique as well. We also have the assistant to the mayor, played by Kira Moon. She plays mm-hmm. the role of Bridget Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And she is trying to do her best to keep the mayor focused on her political campaign, while at the same time is trying to be her personal friend.
Right.
And you know, there's just a number of different people. We have a cast of almost 17 people.
Yeah.
So there's
cast.
A lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot of people. Another interesting character is played by Arissa, who plays the character Mina Lowe, who has, she's almost like a double agent, so to speak. She has
mm-hmm.
her own personal agenda, and she's targeting the, you know, Ethan Miles, who's running for mayor,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be her counterpart, while at the same time, she's the right hand to Mr. Knight of the Knight Foundation, who is like the main villain of the story.
Right.
So she's trying to cover up her tracks with Mr. Knight while carrying out her own political agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she wants to, she won't expose herself until the proper time with Mr. Knight. And
mm-hmm.
she wants to take him out completely. She wants to run the Knight Foundation herself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on And definitely. I just find it very, very fascinating. When I sit here to write the stories, how dynamic these characters can really get.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought it'd be very fascinating for the audience, you know, to know about what goes into the story, the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stories, some of the episodes we're working on, we only see all the characters sometimes because there's so much going on with the characters we already have that are like front and center. We got to tell that story before we can get to some of the other characters.
Right.
Because we also have another actress, Lisa Race, who was with us from Hawaiian Sovereignty, playing the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And in that series, the president got shot. You know, she now is a private citizen, and she's doing a lot of consulting work. But she's not even in the first episode at all because I couldn't even get her in there because, you know, there's the time restriction of the story to tell. And so we had put that off to episode number two.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
yeah.
You know, it's I want everyone in all the episodes, but sometimes this is just realistically not possible unless
we
stretch out the story. I don't want to make it too long because, you know, it's streaming on the web and, you know, people's attention span is not as long as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why don't you go ahead and ask me some questions you might have about your character or some of the other characters?
I think that the first questions that popped into my mind was definitely like, what would Serena's relationship with the Secret Service be? I understood that it's quite an important relationship, but I feel like there's a whole different layer to it that adds on after she investigates and understands more about the whole Hawaiian sovereignty movement. She wants mm-hmm. to, I feel like, use the resources that she has through the Secret Service to do more. So I feel like I'm interested and I'm kind of curious to, I mean, I don't know if you can really talk about this because it's kind of like a spoiler, but like I'm curious to see what her arc is going to be with, again, like both the Secret Service and the whole Hawaiian sovereignty movement going hand in hand is gonna go. So pretty much if she's gonna have to sacrifice some things on one hand to make the other work, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm like explaining myself right. So I think that that's gonna be a definite like conflict in within my character that it's gonna be like interesting to like develop. But It's not really a question, but I'm just like kind of reflecting.
Well, I say, yeah. Well, yes. Well, it kind of is. Her relationship with the Secret Service. Yeah, she uses it as a tool to mm-hmm. get what she wants, and she's trying not to go rogue.
Right.
With the Secret Service, she's definitely pushing the boundaries of what's allowed within the Secret Service.
Right.
You know, her mentor is kind of like trying to keep her in check as best she can.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, Serena is going to do what Serena wants to do.
Right. Which I really like about my character, especially if like she's trying to do the right thing. You know, it's not like she's like trying to go over, you know, over like step over the line to like do something that's not worth, you know, given her everything too. But yeah, obviously, like if you're committed to something, especially the Secret Service, there are rules, very strict rules that you have to stick to. But it's nice that she has that little edge to her that makes her always like push it to the very limit to like try and do the best thing. So I definitely like that a lot about my character. But continue,
yeah.
Sorry.
And also something else to think about with a character is, when you do that for such a long time, you know, you're bending the rules, you know, you're making them work to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You do that over a certain period of time, the lines become very, very blurred.
Right.
To what is the boundary? Mm-hmm. You know, if I got away with this, what else can I get away with?
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
And, you know, is there going to become a point in time where Serena does cross the line, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see.
And if that does happen, will her mother be there to bail her out? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was going to be my second question, actually. The second main thing that I was going to say is I'm very curious to see how the relationship between Serena and her mother develops, because if she, at the end of the day, Serena committed to the Secret Service and believes in the work that they do, I'm only assuming that it's going to be pretty hard to have somebody so close to you, like your mother, telling you that pretty much they blame what you're standing for the disappearance of your father. So I'm excited to see what does Serena think about that? Is she suspicious at all that her father's disappearance might be because of the Secret Service or the CIA, or she thinks it might be completely something else and her mother is just trying to make her go through a different path or go down a different path? What is that Serena thinks?
Actually, Serena doesn't think that of the Secret Service at all. Because she's not certain who is to blame for the disappearance of her father. You know, it's been said it's the Secret Service, it's been said it's the CIA, it's been said it's the FBI, but she's not even sure who to point the finger at.
Right.
And she's done her own investigation in the past, and, you know, she's hit a bunch of brick walls because of the secrecy involved.
Okay.
And so, you know, she's trying just to appease her mother at the moment, you know, let her mother think that, because she doesn't know for sure who is responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then when she gets caught up with Leilani, that's a major distraction for Serena. And so that actually looked for a father is kind of put on hold because, you know, Leilani's kind of in her face, you know, versus her father who's, you know, been missing for years.
Yeah.
You know, so just by the nature of proximity, you know, she really pursues, you know, helping out Leilani because it's a cause she can get behind and she can do something about because it's here and now.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So how long has Serena's father been missing?
About 2 or 3 years.
Okay, so it's not been that long. It's still kind of fresh. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that explains a lot. But yeah, again, as I said, I'm definitely excited to see how, like, I'm obviously trying to put myself in Serena's shoes. That's kind of what I'm here to do. But it would be pretty hard for me to have somebody so close to me being so against me and what I stand for and what I do. So that's definitely has to be a major obstacle or conflict in her everyday life. So I can see how also that could be a reason why she's so prone to bend the rules and push herself to like almost the point of crossing the line, maybe not. Cause it's almost like she knows that she wants to do this, but then if you have somebody so close to you constantly telling you for the past couple of years that this is bad, or they're at fault, like you're gonna try and do everything that you can to make sure that you actually are doing the right thing, even if those people that you still stand for might not allow certain ways of going, you know what I probably put it the wrong way, but yeah, no, it's just making more sense to me, which is nice. It gives me a lot more to work on.
And then also to add to the mix, there's Zach Edler,
right?
You know, Serena's ex-boyfriend from the military.
Mm-hmm. From
and
the military.
They, you know, just let the audience know Serena and Zach has a past in the military in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And Serena kind of broke apart because she wasn't agreeing with their tactics and what they stood for.
Right.
But in episode one, Serena finds herself going back to Zach after many years and, you know, asking for his help. And he's like, excuse me?
Right.
So that... I love the way we shot that. That was there's so much in that scene that we shot. I mean, we could spend a whole half hour just talking about that scene.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they went through several different topics in that. And ultimately, you know, Serena knows that Zach's going to give in.
Right.
She has very persuasive powers. Mm-hmm. And then when the CIA finds out about Zach, you know, that does not go over very well.
Yep.
Because they are aware of Zach, who he is, and what he's capable of doing. And Zach doesn't care about anyone or anybody but himself.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see if that plays out, because there's some things I can't say, but there are some very much future surprises that
Definitely.
Zach has in store for everybody.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I actually have another question about Zach's character. Do you think that he might be suffering from PTSD, or like, did he have like any very, like, cause I know that we revealed something in that one scene that we shot. And again, even for my own character, like, do you think that that group that was together in the Middle East in the military, do you think that they had any sort of, I'm pretty sure that every single person in the military has seen some sort of thing that was traumatic or scarring or somehow affected them. Right.
Yeah.
So I also, like, I'm interested in knowing, just in case I need to do some more research about it, because obviously, like, I've never been in the military. I don't know what that's like. But in case, you know, they as a group have some sort of, again, PTSD, what would that be from, or like kind of like what they've been through together as a group? That
there's a very rich story, rich
backstory.
Deep background for all those characters that are in that group, because they're together for years.
Right,
we're talking like 6+ years.
Yeah,
and so there's a lot of untold stories that could keep us going for quite a few seasons.
Right.
Just telling the background stories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that they've come across in the past that might show up again in the future.
Yep.
You know, that, you know, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, you always want to, you know, try to do good with everybody, because you never know who's going to come back into your life.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when you have a job nowadays, you got to be nice to everybody, because somebody may be your boss.
Right.
In the
you
future.
Don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, the same
Absolutely.
Thing with military. But see, in the military, you don't have time to think about that, because it's life and death.
Yeah.
And
For
you're
sure.
you're making the best call you can in the condition that you're being given to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a bad decision. Sometimes it's a good decision. But
yeah.
You know, it's just random, almost.
Yeah.
Because and when these people come back into your lives, you have to deal with that.
Right.
So, I mean, we could have, you know, several episodes just on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, but, we Pacific Breeze is scheduled for 6 episodes, roughly half hour long each.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost done with episode 1.
Yes.
We have 2 more days of shooting left, and we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. almost done.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually wrote through episode 4, I think, already.
Mm-hmm.
I just wrote it up by hand. But I haven't looked at it in quite some time. So I'm going to go back and see, you know, do these stories need to change at all, since I know the characters even better now, since they have a chance to, you know, act with everybody.
Right.
But they probably do.
Okay.
So just, it will enhance the story and make it even better, more fascinating to watch.
Perfect. On that note, I wanted to ask you, what do you think was the hardest character to develop and kind of like intertwine with like the rest of the story that maybe you already had in the back of your mind, if there was one that was like slightly hardest to like develop?
I would say Mina Lowe.
Mm.
Because we've already shot with the actress, Arissa.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I wasn't sure how that was going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And we have never worked together before.
Mm-hmm.
But she did a good job in her audition. And English is not her first language. She's actually from Japan.
Oh, nice.
She's been a state for a few years, but she has a bit of an accent.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still, familiarizing herself. But this is her biggest role she's ever had.
Oh, nice.
I got that out there to shoot a couple of shots with her. So we sat down and talked with her for a good half hour about the character.
Mm-hmm.
So she have a better grasp, ask the questions, I answer for her about her character. And when she got back in front of the camera, it was like day and night. I was like, wow, this character is going to be a standout character in the series. I mean, she just took it, just ran with it.
Nice.
And I even, in editing her scene, I even found music that matches perfectly for her, her character. So she's like the first character who's got her own theme song right now.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I think you showed me the other day when we were shooting, and I think you mentioned that. Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah, it matches her personality as a character,
mm-hmm.
and she just, like, really just made it happen. Like, I was quite surprised, very pleasantly surprised by how fast she absorbed the material
mm-hmm.
and was able to present it in the exact way it needed to be.
Yep, she's going somewhere. She's mm-hmm. definitely, that's the job. And if you're ready to and willing to commit, and again, like as you said, like sit down for 30 minutes and talk about her character to like help her understand more, and like that's the work that you need to do. And then it delivers. It really does. Like, if you put the effort in, there is no way you can make it work. So I'm very happy for her, and I'm very excited to have her on the show as her character, because apparently it's very fitting.
Yeah, and then also maybe we have a future episode for our podcast where we talk with Kalei, who plays Leilani.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I bring her on, and we can talk about the entire Hawaiian sovereignty movement itself.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that are completely unaware
mm-hmm.
of how Hawaii was annexed.
Yeah.
And so that'll be a good show we have in the future, in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, well, I learned more and more now with the shoot, but I remember when you first mentioned it, and I, like, unfortunately had no idea. So it's also a really good thing that we're, like, spreading awareness to people that might not know about this. So, that's really nice. All right. Well, the podcast is about to be done. This was episode 8. We talked a lot about more in-depth characters and people that we see on the show Pacific Breeze that we're currently shooting. Almost done with episode 1. Very exciting. And, as always, feel free to tune in. You can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio Live, or listen to us back on Spotify, or was it Google Play? Is it called Google Play?
Yes, and Amazon
Google
Music.
Google Play and Amazon Music. And again, if you want to support us. I am Tulia Ferraro and my co-host, Fred Copeland. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and have a good night, Fred.
Good night.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.